day, we get to examine, we get to look at being victorious in Christ. Our title today is Victory Through Our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about the victory that we have today as believers? In 1 Corinthians 15:57, the Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That is a statement that we can make as believers today. That we can cry out and give God praise and glory and thanks for. Thanks be to God. Because He has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over what? Well, we'll see that in the message today. But it's pretty simple for a Christian to look into the world today and say, I have victory over, and you can name special things in your life that you have victory over, because God has provided that for you through Jesus Christ. So Paul, when he was writing here to the Corinthians, was expressing his gratitude for that unique victory that is assured to those who have a firm faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and having Him as our Savior. We see that Paul is proclaiming or shouting here with joy, and so should we, because of the confidence that he has and ultimately that we have in the victory that Jesus Christ has provided for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 starts out with the gospel message, talking about how we are saved in very basic and straightforward terms. But by the end of the chapter, and most of the rest of the chapter, we find him expounding on the resurrection and what is coming. So we see our beginning as a believer in the first part, how we accept Christ as our Savior, but that is not the end of life. In fact, that is merely the beginning of life. And yet there is so much more. And what Paul wants us to know is that we can be victorious. And we are. And we are given that assurance here in the Word of God. Paul proclaims that those who trust Christ will likewise experience victory over death and the grave. We think, wow, well, is that even possible? In our own power? Absolutely not. But through the power of Jesus Christ, it is. And not only is it available to Him, but He made it available for us through Him so that we can receive that same victory over death and the grave. And we'll get into that further into the message today, but it's in that same passage of Scripture. Let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's look at that, starting in verse 50 through 58. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a passage of Scripture. I love chapter 15, because that tells us this is not all there is. And He is not done with me yet, and He's not done with you as believers yet. There is so much more. I was thinking about this sermon this morning, and I was thinking about so many times we as believers live in a small picture. We live only seeing what's right in front of us, and God has displayed for us the big picture, and we should be able to see it. He tells us through His Word what's going to happen, what's coming. So many times we want to know what's going on tomorrow. And we don't always know what's going to go on tomorrow. But we know what's going on in the future. We know what's going to be happening eternally, because He's given that to us in His Word. I don't know how long my days are on planet Earth, but I know how long my days are. They're eternal. This flesh is temporary. But just like I read here, we're going to be changed. That's a promise from God. That's an assurance that we have from God, that this mortal will put on immortality and this corruptible will put on incorruption. And that is only because Jesus has provided it for us. We can't do it in our own power. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. It's been taken care of only by Jesus Christ. So, we should be thankful for the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. Victory in Jesus. So, we can be thankful for victory over sin. Victory over sin. You know, we all should be thankful for victory over sin. Because without it, we're dead. We're on our road, on the road to hell, and the eternal lake of fire, without victory over sin. But that victory is through Jesus. It is through Jesus only that we have victory over the penalty of sin. There is a penalty for sin, and the wages of sin is death, as it tells us in Romans 6:23. But it also tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, the wages of sin is death. There is a payment for sin. Jesus took that on Himself, by the way, and paid your bill. But the gift of God is eternal life. He took our sin debt and provided for us eternal life. That's victorious for me. I don't know about you. But God has provided victory over death for me. He's provided it for everyone that will receive Him. So through Jesus, we have victory over the penalty of sin. But also through Jesus, we have victory over the power of sin. Sin has a power. If you don't believe me, just think about the temptation. Just think about how sin draws you in. It has a power. But Jesus has taken care of that as well. In Romans 6:14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." And he's talking about believers. "For ye are not under the law, but under grace." Sin shall not have dominion. It will not control you. It cannot, because God has given to us as believers the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil, to stand against the temptations that confront us through and with the power of God. Philippians 2, verse 13, "For it is written, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." It's God's will to work in us, to do in us what is pleasing to Him. And God doesn't want us to sin. It's that simple. So he's going to work in us through the Spirit, through his Spirit, in the power of Jesus Christ, with the Word of God, everything, all the resources he has provided, so that we don't go there. So through Jesus, we have victory over that penalty, over that power of sin. But through Jesus, we have victory also over the presence of sin. Wow, sin is around us everywhere. Everywhere you go, you see it. Everywhere you go, it makes itself known. It didn't used to, but I didn't know what it was. I just thought that was life. I thought that's the way the world was. I had not known sin, except God said, that's sin. It's not man that says, that's wrong. It's God that says what's right and wrong. And therefore, when God says it's wrong, it becomes sin. So he points out what's wrong. Therefore, he makes it known to us. And when he makes it known to us, we think, wow, it's everywhere. It's all around us. But he gives us victory over the presence. We live in a sinful world among sinful people. And God can give us that victory. Look what he says in Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The presence of sin is around us. But Jesus Christ took care of that. And again, this is not all there is. How long has man been living around sin? Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And we can read about the wickedness of mankind, the evil of mankind. We can read about the demonic influence in the world and all of the things that's going on. And you know what? It hasn't changed. Man has not changed. His methods of how he sins has changed. But the sin is still there. Man trying to serve God, trying to follow God, listening to God, is still out in a very evil and sinful world. But God knew that, and God knows that, and God has provided for us so that we can live for him and be an influence to those who do not know him. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In and through and around a sinful world, God removes us from that debt, that destruction, and he replaces it with himself, with Christ, so that we can be victorious when we deal with sin, so we can be thankful for victory over sin. Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful for the victory that Jesus Christ has provided for you over sin? We can be thankful for victory also over suffering. Well, that's a little harder, isn't it? No, it's not. We think, well, suffering hurts. Sin causes suffering. Okay, there's things that can happen. Suffering, as a Christian, does it happen? Yes, it does. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 7 down through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Okay, here we stop for a second. This is Paul talking about his own life and what God did in his life. Paul had some issue in his life, some issue that was hard on him, challenging to him. Calls it a thorn in the flesh, something that was going on. But God did not remove that from him. God left him with that to still continue on. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul understood that he was going to go through things, and we'll get into a little bit more in a minute. Paul went into a lot of situations that we would really question to go into today. And the reason he could do that is because God led him there. God told him to go there. God instructed him to go there because his faith was in Christ. He didn't send everybody to the same place he sent Paul. But Paul was called with a special purpose. And Paul is there for our example as well to learn today that God will take care of us to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish if we walk by faith, if we trust him. And he will give us that victory that he has provided for us. Paul did not doubt that. But he also understood it was not going to be easy. He tried to get rid of that problem. Three times he asked the Lord to take it away. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for you. He says the same thing for us today. Paul then discovered how being a follower of Jesus Christ did not prevent hardships or suffering. You know, I hear people today and people talking about, if you accept Jesus Christ, you're never going to have any more problems. That's a lie. If you accept Jesus Christ, everything's going to be perfect. That's a lie. We live in a sinful world. We live in a flesh that is dying. There will be hardships. In fact, to stand for the Lord is not easy. And we cannot do it in our own power at all. It takes Jesus Christ living in us to live the way we need to live for the Lord. Paul understood that. And if you read the New Testament and you look at church history, early church history, you will see people standing for the Lord and dying for the Lord because they believed that what God's word said was the truth. And they were willing to die for that. Why? Because they knew the Lord and they knew there was a bigger picture. You know, there's no promise of exemption from suffering merely because one is faith and lives a life of faithfulness. Oh, I love the Lord and I'm faithful to the Lord and I go to church every week and I give of my give offerings to the Lord and I do all the things I'm told to do. You can't buy your way through. You can't work your way through. It's a walk of faith in Christ. The biggest growing spiritual growth spurts that I've seen in my life was because of a pain. Something happening. Something forcing me to stand for the Lord. I didn't see it at the time, but when I look back, I can look back and say, that's why I went through that. I had to go through that because the Lord strengthened me through that. And he does that with all of us. But we would not choose to go through physical pain and torment and ridicule and financial ruin and all of these things that happen to people by choice because our flesh would say, well, I'm better than that. I shouldn't have to deal with that. But you know what? The Lord knows us, and He puts us through exactly what we need to be exactly who we need to be. Aren't you glad He knows what's going on in your life? Paul discovered that the sufficiency of God's grace was enough. The sufficiency of God's grace. Let me ask you, how important is God's grace to you? What would you do without it? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God's grace that saves us. What would we do without it? We would be living in a sinful condition without the grace of God. Paul learned that of the strength and the wisdom he needed to be victorious, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of hardships. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to back up a little bit. Let's look at some of the things that Paul went through. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches. We find in his life, it was not easy. Think about what he went through as a servant, as a Christian. Beaten with rods, to the point of death. That's what that minus one means. 40 stripes minus one. Stoned. He was taken out of the city and left as dead. Shipwrecked. We read about one of his shipwrecks, but he says three times it happened to him. All the things that he went through. And we find at the end of his life, he was praising God. He is victorious. I have no doubt today that Paul will be there when I get to heaven. But Paul had to be here first. And Paul had to do what God called him to do here first so that we would do what God calls us to do. Paul understood the sufficiency of God's grace. So then how can one face suffering and hardship today in a victorious manner? How can we do it? Only by letting Jesus have possession of our heart, of our mind, of our spirit. Only by letting Him have us. And that word possession means just that. To have control of us. Bible tells us over and over and over, when we receive Christ, we are born again. We are a new creature. We are a new man. We are to walk in the Spirit. That's not our spirit. It's His Spirit. We're to walk following Him. So only by letting Jesus have possession of our heart, our mind, and our spirit, all that we are, our body, soul, spirit, everything we are. Let's flip over into Romans chapter 8. Start in verse 35.
shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded, Paul says, that there is nothing in heaven and in earth, no situation that can separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That means, doesn't matter what you go through, the devil cannot take you as a believer away from the hand of God. You are victorious. Doesn't matter what situation you go through, death, you will be victorious because of Jesus Christ. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I can live today because of that passage of Scripture. I can live in our world today because nothing can separate me from God. They may pass laws that say, you can't. But they can't stop you. You can worship God. Well, you can't worship God here and you can't worship God there. I can worship God everywhere. In fact, we should be. Daniel was told he couldn't pray except to a false god. Oh well, what happened? How did he have power to do that? Because he trusted someone bigger than the governor, than the president, than the leaders of mankind. He trusted God. And you'll see that occurring over and over again to those who have received the Lord into their heart, who have a relationship with Him, who know Him. And the reason we can do it is because of Him, not because of us. He said in that passage in Romans 8, in all these things we are more than conquerors. I think of the conquerors of the world, and we're more than that. Can you believe that? Attila the Hun, he was a conqueror. The Romans were conquerors. When we look back in man's history, and there was conquerors, people who went out there and just took over. God has given us the ability as believers to know that it's all under control and we're going to go right on through His power in Christ alone. We are more than conquerors through, did you catch that part? That's important. Through Christ, through God who loves us. So can we turn around and say, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ again? Thanks be to God because we are more than conquerors. We are victorious through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, we realize that there's suffering in our world, but this suffering is not all there is. It's for a season. It's for a time. And third, we can be thankful for victory over death. Wow. Victory over death. Most of us in this room have dealt with death. Some of us very closely. Some not quite as close. But we understand death. We understand that you can't get away from it. There's nothing you can do that will keep you from dying physically. And by the way, the reason we die physically is because of sin. It is sin that eats us up. And just like the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. We have an ability through Jesus Christ to have victory even over death. You think, well, that's insane. How can that be? How I don't look around today and see people rising from the dead. The Bible said that there was people who rose from the dead. Jesus came in and rose Lazarus from the dead, and Peter rose some from the dead. And we think, well, it happened back then, and it was temporary. But you know what? Lazarus died again, physically. But he's alive today, and I know that because of what the Bible teaches. This physical death is going to die. We will be, like I read earlier, the corruptible must put on incorruption. Our flesh is corruptible. It's mortal. But it is not all we are. So much of the time we get hung up in our fleshly bodies. It's so insane. It really is. Look at our world today and all the issues over races. For crying out loud, we all came from the same person. We all have the same kind of blood. We're all children of God. You know what? Look at the bigger picture. Look at what is really going to be happening. You know, Jesus came to demonstrate his power over death. He came to show us that he has power over death. Now, before Jesus came and did what he did for mankind, the devil has that power. He had the power and the authority of death. But Jesus took it away from him. Look at Romans 6:9. It says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. There is no more control. And when it's talking about Christ here, it's talking about God Almighty coming to mankind as mankind to take care of man's problem, man's debt of sin. And Jesus did that for us. And he also conquered death. He rose from the dead. We celebrate that every year, his resurrection. Because it's not just his resurrection. He did that for you and I as well. John 10:17-18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus came with this authority and with this purpose to take care of death for mankind. So Jesus came to taste death for every person. Every person. From Adam to everybody living today, and to everybody that will be living until he returns. He's covered it. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. God was made lower than the angels. God made himself in the form of a man for the suffering of death. For that purpose. That he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He paid your personal sin debt. But Jesus also came to destroy the power of death. To destroy it.
In Hebrews 2 and verse 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." That is, the devil. Jesus came with a purpose. He didn't just come to take your sin away, but he came to take it, the power and the authority that Satan had, away from him. The devil no longer has that power over death. Jesus does. So Jesus came to deliver people also from the fear of death. You know, there's a fear of dying out there in our world. There's a fear of dying among people. Little kids don't think too much about it. Teenagers don't think too much about it. But once you start getting older, you kind of start thinking a little more about it. You've dealt with death. You've seen death. You've experienced death. And you know, some people are afraid. Some people are scared of dying. And rightfully so, if you do not know Christ as your Savior. I recently heard a statement by a family that said, talking about one of their loved ones that passed away, that, yeah, he told us he was going to go out kicking and screaming. He was also an unbeliever. And he did go out kicking and screaming. Because he didn't know the Lord. And you know, that's exactly what happens. Because when you leave this body, your soul is either going to be the presence of the Lord because of your acceptance of Jesus Christ, or it is going to hell. And you will and can read about what that's like in the Word of God. It's not a pleasant place. It's not a party with your friends like some people think. But Jesus came to deliver people from the fear of death. Hebrews 2:15 says, "And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Talking about the people who are locked into bondage and the Hebrew nation in Egypt, particularly here, how they were living in fear their whole life because of the bondage that they were in. That's exactly what sin and death does to people. They live in the fear of bondage, not knowing what's going to happen to them. But Jesus Christ came to take that fear away and to give us the answer, to give us what is really going to happen. What's going on in our life, in our future? So Paul then declares that the last enemy is death. The last enemy being death. 1 Corinthians 15, 26 says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." So death is an enemy of mankind. God did not intend for us to die. He intended for us to live. God made man a living soul to live. Sin caused death. Therefore, death has passed upon all men because of sin. So God has restored life to man through Jesus Christ by free gift. You can't buy it. It's free. It's been paid for by Jesus. That last enemy, Jesus came and defeated him. Man's last enemy is death. And that death has been conquered. And Jesus has given us victory over that. Revelation 6 and verse 8 explains that. It says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him.
And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and hunger and with death and with the beasts of the field. Death is not done with what it's going to do on the earth. There's still time coming. There's still mankind on earth dealing with sin and living in sin. But death was given power. And the only power comes from God. Death was given power over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and hunger and death and with the beasts. But Jesus has given us victory over death eternally. Let's again look in Revelation. Over in chapter 20, starting in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose the face of the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now this is the white throne judgment. This is the judgment that takes place for all who have not received Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is at the end of the millennial reign. We find a time period here that separates those who have received Christ. And you find in this text it has to do with those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who have received Christ are written. Those who are not will be cast out. Even those who have died without Christ will experience a resurrection. And that resurrection is right here at this time, this white throne. They'll be resurrected to judgment, and they'll be judged by their works. Believers are not judged by their works. We have a totally different judgment, and that is through Jesus Christ. This works that is talking about here is the things that they have done for God, which is nothing. The things that they have done as mankind. And what it boils down to is the wages of sin is death. They will be found guilty of sin because they do not have Jesus Christ in their life. And they will be committed eternally to the lake of fire. Death and hell, as you saw in that text, will also be transported to the lake of fire. So those who are without Christ will live eternally with death, with hell, in the lake of fire. Not a pleasant thought. But we don't have to go there. Jesus Christ has made it available to everyone if they will truly trust Him and truly receive Him. So then all genuine believers, all genuine, and I say genuine, I mean those who have truly received Jesus Christ as their Savior, ask Him to come into their heart, ask Him to save them, ask Him to take their sins away, want to do what God says, want to spend eternity with hell, with God in heaven. And you know what? We know. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know what's going to be happening. And I truly believe, because the Bible teaches that, that we do know and we can know as an individual whether we are saved or not. Some of us may question and say, you know what, I'm not sure. Well, you need to know. You need to get that right. Have you truly trusted Him as your Savior? Do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ? Or are you unsure on that? You need to get that right. Get that settled. Because you will end up in one of two places. All genuine believers then have victory over death. And I want to read to you again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in our text that I started with. Starting in verse 51, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Okay? Something that has not been seen, not known of man. God made known to Paul to show it to us so that we could live with this assurance and this comfort today. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." And that sleep is talking about physical death. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And the "we" is talking about the living. The living will be changed. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Here's our verse. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God. You know what He's done for you? Do you realize what He's done for you? "But thanks be to God, He has given us the victory. Through, not around, not over, not under. It has to be through Christ. It's the only way that we can have that victory over death, that victory that He's promised to us. You know, victory is a beautiful word to those who are victorious. The winners are always excited. You can be that victorious. You can be that winner by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't, you're already the loser anyway. Even in this world. And through Jesus Christ, we are assured this victory. And these words that I was talking about should be on our minds a lot. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be to God. Do you thank God for the victory that He has provided for you through Jesus? We should. You know, so many times we go to God with all of our problems and all of our situations and all of our struggles and all of our shipwrecks and perils and all of these things that we go through. How often do we go to God thanking Him for the victory that He has given to us through Jesus Christ? Are we looking at these things that's right out in front of us, thinking that's our whole life and that's all we have and that's... Look at the big picture. Look unto God. And look at what God has provided for you as an individual eternally. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. I encourage you, thank God for what He's done for you. Let's stand together. Father, we come before You this morning and we praise You and we thank You for the victory that You have provided through Jesus Christ. The song, O hymn that says, "Victory in Jesus." What a blessing that is, Lord, that we can proclaim that victory as believers. But Lord, thank You so much for providing that opportunity for us to be victorious. It's something we could never attain. It was not possible. But You made it possible for us. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, I pray for everyone here and everyone listening that today we would examine our life and ask ourselves, where are we in relationship with Jesus Christ? Do I know Him as my personal Savior? Have I trusted Him to take away my sins forever and to replace them with life that comes only through Jesus Christ and believing in Him? Lord, let us as believers stay focused on Your Word, stay focused on our relationship with You, stay focused in our prayer time and prayer life, being an encouragement to those around us, but also, Lord, that we might live our lives and be available to those who do not know You, so that they might come to know You, that they might want to have this eternal life that You have provided, that they also would be victorious. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, help us, for we know we have an enemy that walks around roaring and grumbling and attacking. But even there, we have victory through Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the finished work on the cross. There's power in the resurrection. And all of those come through Christ and through Christ alone. Thank You, Lord, for making that accessible to us. Lord, I pray that You would work in hearts today to all the hearers, and that You would strengthen them and guide them and protect them and lead them to a closer walk with You today. And I pray in Jesus' precious name, amen.